She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties.
I can remember being that simple at 20.
The math ain't mathin'!
Because she's like a little sparkly. Just a little sparkly. Not a lot sparkly.
Here, I'm gonna put a piece of candy in my mouth so I'm quiet.
Is this what your therapist told you to do?
It's the magic of editing.
Read the goddamn book just for the weird sex. Here's the content warning. Weird shit. Got it? Scary shit. Got it? Gross shit. Got it. Now, the real trigger warnings. There is talks of physical abuse, sexual abuse, violence, rape, murder, kidnapping. Like, there's all the, like, scary shit in here. This is not a book for the weak of heart or stomach. It's a group chat unsupervised. Yay.
Yeah.
I have a couple songs I want to sing, but we'll get to them, I'm sure.
Yes. I am here for the singing. I adore the singing because I, too, sing along sometimes. But because I listen to it in my car, you guys don't hear me. So, yeah.
You don't get the comments on YouTube like I do. And yeah. Why is she yelling all the time? Dude, that's how I talk.
That's just my voice. Yeah.
That's my speaking voice. This isn't my indoor voice. So, this week, besties, the group chat is unsupervised. Katie and I are. So let's see. This week has been hell. How about you?
It's actually, knock wood, not been bad. This is the first week we haven't had a gajillion things to do with the kids. So
nice.
We're moving into that rare, brief 3-week window period between wrestling and theater where we can have dinner as a family. So I'm love, laugh, loving. So yeah.
That's nice. We are not. Yeah. I am a shift work widow this week. So
been there.
Yep. Yeah. It is not fun. And of course the girls have all the things. Mm-hmm. Both of my children are AWOL today. So my house is quiet.
My oldest is going driving with my husband. She has her temps. She turns 16 in 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, you guys got driver's test coming up.
Yep. So she is out driving, and then my youngest is doing all the things. So she has like all the energy. So she's cleaning my kitchen, which go queen and slay.
Go crazy.
And then she's going to bake, and then she's got her laundry going, and she's just like, I'm like, go on with your bad self.
The generation's so freaking weird. Piper the other day goes, hey, by the way, made brownies, then did all the dishes.
I love that.
No big.
Yes. I'm here for it. Yeah.
She was like, how do we clean an oven? And I go, did you not Google it? And I go, why? And she goes, oh, our oven's gross. I want to clean it. And I was like, who are you?
See, my kid would just do it. And then she would be like, oh, BT dubs, I cleaned your oven. And you're like, oh, slay. Okay, get it. So.
See, but Piper would try to clean it with like Windex. She wouldn't like... Yeah.
Wouldn't do it.
You know what I mean? Yeah. She wouldn't do the work. She would just be like, okay, I know this cleans really well because I used it to clean X, Y, and Z before.
Yeah.
She would not process that Windex probably shouldn't go in heat. You know?
True. Yeah.
So.
A for effort, C for execution. Yeah.
Yeah, because we still have ADHD. And so those intrusive thoughts say, let's do this fast.
They win sometimes.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, like, my nose will not stop running.
Girly, same. Like, I have been itching mine already. Like, this.
And I took my allergy pill this morning.
The flu was horrific for a week.
Horrific. We haven't even been sick. It's just, we had false winter.
Mm-hmm.
And my body was like, cool. We can be like chill for a second and like be in the sunshine and enjoy breathing. And then. Second winter came and brought in a shit ton of nastiness, and I'm draining, and I'm like, cool, spring allergies are here. Yeah. Fuck my life.
We went from 60 to 30 in one
day.
Same day.
Fuck that noise.
And I was like, I came into work without a jacket on, and I left like having to zip up and pull my hood up. I was like, up your meds, Mother Nature. Up your meds. Yeah. Like, just crank that shit up. Yeah.
It's bullshit.
Bullshit. No, like, yeah.
It's bullshit. My Cardinals are back, though. So oh, I love it's Cardinals. It's a good sign.
Yes.
We have a set we've named. They had their babies. Matt, like, feeds them. It's a whole thing. We're old men.
You know that Cardinals are, like, a signal of someone that you love who's passed on, right?
Like, it's a whole family.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I love that. Yeah. We have two. Yeah. And one of them, I am wholly convinced, is Steve's dad. Because really? After he passed away, it was about 2 weeks later. It was not Cardinal season at all. This big old fat Cardinal with this big round chest, short but fat, shows up. Steve's dad was petite. He wasn't like a big guy belly-wise, but like this Cardinal is him. And every time I see him, I'll be like standing at my kitchen sink. I'll be like, thank you for checking on us. We love you. We miss you. So Carl, let me put out some more bird seed for you. Yeah.
Stands there because I have that window over the sink, right?
Yeah.
Carl just sit on the balcony on the other side and just look at me.
Is that the name of your Cardinal?
We call Carl.
That's Steve's Carl dad's name. Too funny. And that's his sister's name, Carla. But she's living. She's fine. She's not crossed over.
No, we named them Carl and Carla. They had three babies last season, a male and two females. Aww. One female did not survive.
Yeah, nature.
Nature. But hey, we saw the adults fly off. So there Carl and Carla are here somewhere. I'm hoping for new babies this season.
Yes. So bird sex, get it. Yeah.
Yay! I love nature. Yay! I'm a nerd. So let's talk about nature-ish.
Do we have
this week's book? Oh my god, we gotta talk about this book because it is so goddamn twisted and weird. This week's book is How to Be Eaten by Maria Adelman. Adelman? 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 April's gonna be so mad. Adelman.
Yeah.
Maria Adelman. I'm going to just start with a trigger warning, guys. Like, weird shit.
Weird shit.
Gross shit.
Gross shit.
Here, let me pull it up so I can, like, read it off in order. Solid plan, Molly. I'm doing so good at this running things, guys. Okay, here's the content warning. Weird shit. Got it?
Check.
Scary shit. Got it?
Check.
Gross shit.
Check.
Got it. Now, the real trigger warnings. There is talks of physical abuse, sexual abuse, violence, rape, murder, kidnapping. Like, there's all the, like, scary shit in here.
Yep.
This is not a book for the weak of heart or stomach.
Mm-mm. It's fucked up. You've been warned. That's what all of these little blurbs on the back should say. It's fucked up. You've been warned. Yeah.
It says it should read like, if you have trauma and like to laugh at it, this book's for you.
Right. But if you're still healing from that, put it down and walk away. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So how about a summary?
Yes, please.
So what would it be like if the Grimm brothers had their own verse? Well, this book is that, I think. We meet, you know what's weird is this, both are women. Both, this, never mind, moving on. We
both meet, authors. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
and both books are like woman-centric. We'll get to that next. See, okay. So we meet five women as they're about to adventure into a five-week experiment / group therapy ran by the helpful-ish and kind Will. Those women, Bernice, whose ex-boyfriend truly loves the color blue, and murdering his girlfriends. Ruby, who was a real-life Red Riding Hood, who had a real-life Red Riding Hood moment and now wears the wolf's as a coat. So all weird. The time.
All the time.
All the time. Ashley, the winner of The One, a bachelor-esque style. She is the winner, Cinderella, I guess, but is she happy with her choices? Gretel, a now-grown adult woman who lives alone, still gets recognized for her childhood fame as a missing sibling with her brother. Her story and his have never matched up, and the lady's house was made of candy, supposedly. But now all she has is bad teeth, bad memories, and a bad life. And then finally, we have Reyna, an empty nester who doesn't really seem to fit into the rest of the women somehow, but when she shares her story, her week,
what?
Everything changes. Everything changes.
Yeah.
Will we learn? May have.
Will we learn? Will the noun, the character.
I wrote these notes. I did this to myself. I need everyone to know that. That's how stupid Molly is. Will learns. Nope. Damn it.
April's going to have a stroke 9 minutes in. She's going to be like, this is why they can't be left alone. Focus, Molly. Come on. You got this, boo.
Will, we learn, has many different sides to him. Possibly he's two-faced? See, that was a good line if I would do it right the first time.
You hadn't screwed it up 8 times. Yeah, it's been solid.
Yeah, solid. Stories are told. Truths are spilled. Let's talk about them in this wild-ass book.
So weird. It's so weird.
But, okay, here's the thing. I like weird books. Before we get into questions, I like weird books. And I thought I thought you did. Like, I thought you were like... No.
I mean, to a point, but I know like, I've said this before. I don't get symbolism. I am not symbolism smart. Okay?
Like, you're there for the story. You're not for the English lit.
I like to disassociate when I read. That's my jam. I like to be in a completely different world. I like the smut because it's smut.
Smut.
I like dragons. Yeah, but like I don't get symbolism.
So
like,
this was not fun.
No,
for you.
I was like, I'm so confused. What does this represent? Like, and then I'm like Googling shit, and it's not helping at all. And I
Reddit, you have to dig deep on Reddit for this book.
Yeah, and I don't even have a Reddit account. I don't know how that works. So, yeah.
No, Reddit's not for the faint of heart either.
Okay, yeah.
You know. So, Maria Adler.
Maria
Adelman. Author. I'm not good at names. Everybody knows that. Is new to pod, and I'm happy to say... I'm glad April isn't here.
Oh, girl.
She hated this book. And I say that with all the love in my heart. April, you would have hated this book.
This would have been a DNF chapter one. She'd have been like, fuck that shit.
Molly, I love you. We're not doing this book.
We're not doing this book. Yeah.
Adelman's style is unique for sure.
Correct.
What do you think of her style slash voice? Will you read her collection of stories, Girls of a Certain Age?
So, no, because this one was just weird as fuck, and I am not, it's not my jam, but I did like her voice. I feel like each of the characters had a very distinct voice. I liked the pace of the book. Like, as fucked up as it was, it didn't take forever to get through. Like, I wanted to continue to read to figure out what fuckery was coming next.
Right, yeah. Because there is a huge surprise in this book. Huge. There is this big, but her writing makes you hooked.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, it's fucking batshit crazy, but you're like a true, like, good, and I think that's part of the symbolism, right?
Yeah.
Like a true good reality show, you're like, oh my god, what the fuck?
What just happened?
Oh my god, what the fuck? What?
Well, now I'm gonna have to turn the page. Yeah.
Did I really just read that right? Like,
right. Yeah.
You're just like, I don't know how many times I rewound the audiobook and be like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. Yeah. I flipped back, like, hold on a minute. Yeah.
Go back to that. Like,
Hang on a dang minute. Yeah.
So if you're into that, if you love being surprised, if you're good with weird, and if you're good with like, then this book's for you.
Yes. But agreed.
April does not do the, you know what I mean? She does not do the crawly skin.
Yeah.
Makes you want
to vomit.
There's
no happily ever after in this one. So.
Mm-mm. No, yeah. And that's kind of the point of this book, though.
Yeah.
Since the story's broken up in weeks, I want to do this next few questions, kind of giving a brief overview of what happens and kind of talking about it from there.
Yes, I think that makes way more sense with how this book is divided. Especially, so,
thank you.
Yeah.
So Bernice volunteers pretty much to go first. So Bernice is just an ordinary girl who lives in the Hamptons with her family and her much prettier sister. Of course, she has a much prettier sister, right?
Of course.
And she meets the tech billionaire weirdo who's, we're insinuating it's someone who made Tesla. We're not going to say names because he owns the internet and weird data. Ashton Adams is this man's name that he goes by Bluebeard. He's like obsessed with the color blue and like everything it represents and read the book, you'll get
all that weird shit. Also, didn't get the symbolism to that. So, like,
oh, what? Like, okay, Spain. I promise.
Okay.
She discovers a little too late that he isn't a bachelor for the normal reasons, but a more sinister one. He's been murdering, torturing, and turning his girlfriends who want to be his ex girlfriends into furniture.
Yep.
barely escaping with her own life, but the news seems to make her think and assume she's an accomplice and pretty much made her a scapegoat for everything. Yeah. Bluebeard, of course, escapes all persecution by just ending it, committing suicide.
Unaliving himself. Yep.
Yep. And that is where we leave her today. She, Bernice hears voices in all the furniture. Mm-hmm. Like, she's certain the furniture is talking to her, or so she says. Do you think this is guilt, or it's something else?
I think it's PTSD. Sis just went through a lot, and, like, she went from 0 to 100 with Ashton, like, super quick. You know what I mean? Like, she was, like, seeing him at dinner party across the street and then living with him 24/7. And so she's got a little bit of Stockholm syndrome. She got a little bit of PTSD. So
yeah. The whole, she was a captive. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She was a captive for a long time, and she didn't see it as being captive because she could do whatever she wanted.
Right.
So she didn't realize it's Beauty and the Beast without being Beauty and the Beast, right?
Correct. Yep.
Like, and the symbolism of the blue is blue blood's royalty, right? So everything being blue,
I didn't get it.
Yeah, he's so stupid.
I didn't get it.
Bernice likes to focus on how different she is from the other girls, but in the end, Ashton says, just like them, you want the same thing, right?
Yeah.
In the end, he was going to just turn her into a piece of furniture too. She was just like them. Her swearing up and down, she's different. She's nothing like them. They were these pretty models. They were this, they were that. And she was just a regular girl. What do you think of her needing to constantly insist she's different?
I think that's part of like justifying that she wasn't going to end up like them. You know what I mean? Like in her head, she said, I wasn't going to end up a footstool. She probably was, in all likelihood. If the UPS guy hadn't shown up, she'd have been dead.
Yeah.
And she was exactly like him. He groomed her. He did all the things to keep her kept. And then he dangled this token of the key to this room and said, don't go in there. And she went in there. So he set her up to be murdered.
Oh, he set her up for failure.
For sure.
100%.
Yeah.
It's like... And the cakes, right? He used not just every single part of his thing is a grooming process.
Oh, for sure.
He is the true story of a groomer.
Yeah.
And take this, turn this story and go from, take it from a billionaire and take it to high school teacher.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Make this a social studies teacher because we all know it was the fucking social studies teacher growing up. And make it the social studies teacher who focused on one girl every fucking year.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying, guys? Like, this is not
Not normal. Yeah.
This is predator behavior, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So did you have anything else you want to talk about Bernice and her story before we move on to the next week?
Did you hear the Tiffany's as Valley Girls?
Oh my God.
Like, what was the audio narrator like? Because I heard them like this. They were like, oh my God. Yeah.
The Tiffany's were like, oh my God, I'm a God.
Yeah.
Can you believe this?
Yeah.
They are definitely, like, in the end, we'll talk about the ending, but when they're in the end and they're in the place they're at, they're like, of course everybody's here to see me.
Oh my God.
Nobody knows who I am, and I love that. You know what I mean?
Listen, kind of thing. I am here, but look at me. So, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they get to be worshipped for the rest. You know? And Tiffany's getting to be worshipped the rest of their lives. It's kind of the best thing. Mm-hmm. But the fact, even in the end, she was still hearing the voices.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Even in the end, she was.
What happens when you don't treat mental illness? It continues to get worse.
Or you just do a podcast with your best friend so you don't have to worry about it.
Also that, yeah.
So in week two, it's Ruby's turn. Ruby shows up drenched in sweat in this fucking fur coat. Looks like she's fucking just bleeding. Like, this girl is disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting. But that stems from trauma. Let's talk about Ruby.
Ruby's a hot damn mess.
Honestly, yeah. I think she prefers it that way, though.
Agreed.
Ruby is a little like Red Riding Hood-esque. Mm-hmm. I think the symbolism of her story is like the loudest and easiest to pick up in all of this because of her storyline. Mm-hmm. So, but it isn't, but... I'm so glad I'm leading all of these. Ruby's story is a little Red Riding Hood, but it isn't. We get hints from her mom always had men around and that they were leering, right? But the wolf did go to her grandmother's house. She was a teenager, not a child. Like, she was 12 or 13 in this story. Yeah. But the wolf eats her grandmother and nearly eats her, and then the hunter finds her, but the hunter's like, I'm assuming a drug addict. Like, that's
how
what
I took
getting.
It. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
like this stoner kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who he's like offers to like, he saves her and then offers to make her a coat out of
the fur,
the wolf. And then was like, as he's taking her back to her mom in the apartment after murdering this guy and getting Granny out and doing all this shit, he's like, oh, I probably should have called the cops. Like, this is the kind of place Ruby grew up. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, Ruby now is an adult, can't hold a job, does not live in one place for long. She prefers sublets, so she never stays in one place too long. Mm-hmm. And always is wearing the wolf coat.
Yeah.
Always. No matter the temperature, weather, it doesn't matter. She has this goddamn monster on.
Yeah.
The symbolism with Ruby and the childhood rape does not escape the reader. Mm-mm. It is hard not to.
Yeah. That one I got. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the author literally beats you over the head with it.
Yeah.
Ruby has all the signs of childhood abuse and neglect. Mm-hmm. And what do you think of the point of the coat for the author? What is her driving force? What is she fucking trying to say here?
So I think she's trying to give Ruby the power back that was taken from her as a child being raped, and like saying you can carry this as a physical reminder that you didn't succumb to this. Like, yeah, you're fucked up. Yeah, you can't hold a job. Yeah, you're just a hot mess and you have sex with weird dudes in weird places.
For weird reasons.
Yeah. Ultimately, you're okay.
Right. You survived the worst
you
thing
survived.
In your life.
That's
right?
Better. You survived. Not you're okay. You survived. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the coat, right? It's the burden. It's the weight of her burden, right?
Correct.
She
has
to remember that she survived. And the weight of the wolf is to remind her that she has to keep surviving.
Yeah. Yep.
Even though she hates everything. Even though life is terrible. I mean, fucking Ruby makes her own life terrible.
Right.
Everything that happens to Ruby is her own fault. in a good chunk of the sense, but
yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. I'm just doing so great as a grown-up.
Killing it.
Killing it. But Ruby's story is definitely intense.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah.
It is blatantly obvious that the writer was using Ruby's story to highlight her influence of the Grimm stories, right? Mm-hmm. And the true darkness of their origins. Mm-hmm. What did you think of her use of them and the fact that she's so graphic like the original Grimm stories?
So I am a Disney kid, right? I'm a kid of the 90s. Mm-hmm. I was born in the 80s. I grew up in the late 80s, early 90s. So to me, Grimm's fairy tales are something that I had to address as an adult. Like, I am a Cinderella. I am a Pocahontas. I am a Happily Ever After. Little Mermaid.
That's what
Sissy,
we grew up on.
Sissy Gets the Prince. So, like, to think about that these fairy tales were not happy endings when the fairy tales that we grew up with were so happy ending. Like, you forget that Grimm's were grim.
Right. And the original intent of them were to keep children safe.
Yeah.
Right?
To scare them into keeping them safe. Yeah.
Right. Our millennial asses, right? Our zennial millennial, like those early 80s kids, us, we were pumped full of Disney joy, right?
So much joy. Yeah.
And then in high school, we get Leo as Romeo, right? Mm-hmm. And then it starts to get darker. And then we just kind of get into the darker romances.
Yeah.
I feel like I started reading Shakespeare in high school, thinking it was like super dark and twisty, you know? Mm-hmm. Even though I could barely read because, hey, dyslexia. So I read the original Grimm's back in the day.
Yeah.
I can't believe we get in trouble for everything our kids read now, but they were fucking read the original Grimm. Guys, like, read that shit. Cutting the children's 90s. Toes off.
Yeah. The 90s were fucked up, man.
Ugh. Anyway, okay, so.
Yeah.
We get your point, okay, Maria? We get your point, Maria. We do. We get your point. It's just not a good point.
Mm-mm.
Well, I don't know if it's a good point. It might be a good point.
I have some thoughts, and I don't know if now is the time to say them or towards the end.
We'll save it.
We'll save it. Yeah, I think we'll save it. It's off the Grimm dovetail, but it can wait till the end. So,
we'll move on to week 3.
Yes.
Oh, look, my new bookshelf is in, by the way.
Very nice.
I'll move shit around, but that's beside the point. They're going on. Not the point. I did not take my meds. I'm sorry.
Wait.
Week 3, Ashley.
Yeah. I love Ashley. My poor heart hurt for her.
She's so simple. So Ashley grew up.
So simple. Yeah.
In the middle. Okay. Ashley is our Cinderella story. Mm-hmm. Ashley is a country bumpkin. She grew up in like BFE, Pennsylvania, which is just fucking. It's the same thing as where I grew up. It's where you are. It's just nothing. Okay.
Yep.
And she just wants romance and love and passion.
Swept off
and
her feet.
That's all she wants. So she auditions for The One. It's their version of The Bachelor, okay? And Ashley's here for love and the romance. But the reality show painted her a villain.
Yes.
Who is only there to win. And So she is the most recent winner of The One. And she is here for the romance. But does she really know what romance is?
No.
Ashley is the symbol of the childhood princess, and they lived happily ever after. Mm-hmm. But that isn't real life. Real life is what happens after the camera stops rolling.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So what were you going to say?
Nothing. Just that that's like she was here for the happily ever after, and that's not what happened at all. So
Ashley goes through the whole reality show process, meets up with her future fiance, and he's a different person. And she's just devastated. So when she gets this chance to join this group, she's like, fuck it. I have nothing else going on.
Right. And I think she genuinely wants to tell her side of the story.
Yes.
Like, because the producers painted her as this obsessive, I'm going to win, I'm going to win, mm-hmm. I'm going to win. Like, I have mantras. I speak mantras every day. But if you take that shit out of context, I am nuts.
Yeah.
I am a crazy lady.
I mean, you took my time! You took my time!
Yes! Right? Like, yes! Yes! Like, but when you think about what she was doing, it's completely normal. But it's the magic of editing and all of the things that they can make you and the media
context.
Can spin. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look at how we grew up with, totally off topic, but that's kind of this podcast, right? Look
cheers
at how
to that. Yeah.
Look at how we grew up with Road Rules and Real World.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Think about how Real World, certain people were painted as monsters. And now today, those people are doing massive charity work, are huge influences in different parts. And it's like, oh, MTV just made you into a trash human being.
Exactly.
You
weren't a trash human being. They were writing. Like, if you look at reality TV shows, there are a lot of writers listed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Writers develop characters. Characters have to be edited, just like in any type of media.
Love is Blind, The Circle. I would be happy to join your team. I'm an excellent writer. And I can do it from long distance. I don't mind.
I can remote work.
Ashley is a lot of things, but she doesn't see it. Mm-hmm. Why do you think the author chose to throw a reality star in this story? It's a comment on how today we see a reality star is and romance and how we pair that all together. So hit me. Give me your opinions.
So I think it has to tie in with the spoiler at the end. I think that's the big one of the biggest reasons. But then also how we have made these people who are just living their lives, reality TV stars, into celebrities. And when they're just doing what you're supposed to do, you know, find your happiness with the person you love, we've made these people into these entities
symbols
that they're not. Yeah. And people are like not prepared for it, and it throws them for a loop. And Ashley, I think, was just a sweet girl who wanted to find love. Sweet and simple girl. And there is nothing wrong with settling down, putting a ring on it, staying home with your babies. I love that journey for you.
If that is what your true joy is, and that is your path in life,
do it.
Go for it. But also, there is a big world out there. You are also allowed to go find that world. You're also allowed to go find yourself. You can do both.
But what you're not allowed to be is, and you shouldn't allow yourself to be, is manipulated. And that's what happened to Ashley, is she got manipulated. And that's what the world knows her as, not this sweet girl who just wanted to find a boy and get married. Yeah.
She is this sweet, little airheaded,
dingbat.
Not much there, dingbat, who's very competitive. Mm-hmm. But they turned her into this calculated monster.
This villain.
And they do this exercise, which I was going to write a question for it, and I didn't know how to write a question for it, so I'm just going to talk about the exercise, and you and I can discuss it. They do this exercise with musical chairs. Mm-hmm. And Ashley gets so excited and so into it, and she wins, but she gets a bloody nose. She practically breaks her fucking nose. Mm-hmm. And the point of it is, what did we learn from this, Ashley? Right? Like, she's like, I won.
But what did you win? You're literally just sitting on a chair.
What was the big deal? Like, was this really the prize?
Right.
Was this worth all that effort? And she never got the point.
Right.
And that was kind of that moment with all of those women and Will looking at her and her not understanding the point. That was devastating for me.
Right. Because it just showed you how simple she was and how she did not understand what was happening to her and the picture that was being painted of her. Right. So,
but also, I can remember being that simple at 20. I can remember feeling that way at 20. Everybody else in the room knows what's going on, and I'm still sitting here. mm-hmm. thinking I have the prize and I don't.
It
really shows the sadness of youth
mm-hmm.
and the shallow, not shallow, but simpleness of it, right?
Well, and I think in this day and age too, with what all of the 20-somethings are being onslaught with social media appearances,
dating apps, all of that mm-hmm. bullshit. Yeah. It's so like, there is just so much. I mean, think about what our kids are going through getting ready for college.
Ugh.
Like, our kids are preparing for college now as mm-hmm. middle schoolers and high schoolers.
Yep.
That is a conversation we have to have now.
Yep. Yeah.
Because we're game planning. Because they don't get the freedom of going into the world like their grandparents did and finding themselves like they did in the 60s and 70s.
Yep.
We had to go and be prepared. And mm-hmm. now we're suiting our kids up, their generation up. Like, we're fucking sending them off for war. Okay, we're going to make sure you have this on your resume and this mm-hmm. on your resume. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, mm-hmm. then 20 other kids are going to have that thing.
Correct.
And
you're going to be behind before you even start.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, that's what happened here. My girls are behind because they didn't do community service in Texas. So they're behind on community service hours because that's a requirement here in Maryland.
That's insane.
So fucking stupid. Anyways, you want to talk about Gretel now?
Yes.
Totally off topic. So, all right. Is there anything else you want to talk about with Ashley involved? Mm-mm.
No. She was my favorite of the bunch.
Was she?
Yeah, I really liked Ashley. I was like, poor thing. Like, yeah.
I related with Ruby, but that's a conversation for later.
That's a conversation for a mental health professional, Molly.
No. It was like, maybe Gretel and I get along better.
Also that, so, yeah.
Maybe not talk about that on podcast. Anyways, Gretel is literally Gretel.
Yeah.
Candy house and all. But with a twist. Her parent, it wasn't just a dad or an evil stepmom. Their parents left them because they had no money to feed them. They were living in the ghettos, right? Yep. I mean, her and her brother left a trail of Adderall. Like, that was, Her brother and her have different stories about what happened. Gretel tells the traditional Hansel and Gretel story.
Starved,
pushed the crazy lady into a fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
Her brother took it as, this nice lady took us in, fed us, I had video games, you killed her. That's how the brother interpreted it.
Mm-hmm.
He and Gretel now lived completely different lives because they had completely different experiences with this. Gretel's older. I was taking it, she was in her late 40s, early 50s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Gretel is a lesbian who struggles to maintain relationships as well. Gretel has a lot of issues. Her teeth mostly, which seem to be taught. I don't get the symbolism of the fucking teeth. If anybody can tell me the symbolism of the goddamn teeth, I'd love to know.
The DMs. Yeah.
Seriously. She can't seem to keep a relationship and her life is just stagnant. Like, she just does the same thing
spinning
all
her
the
wheels.
Time.
Yep.
Just staying. She's a duck. In bar, you know? While her brother isn't. He's married. He has a wife. They're trying to constantly set her up.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the author's way about talking about how as humans process trauma differently?
Mm-hmm.
How we see stories differently or trauma? What do you think the purpose of Gretel's story is in this book? And was her story necessary?
I definitely think it's a commentary on how we process trauma differently and how women are always seen as the victim when sometimes they're not, but then also like nobody addresses that maybe the brother was lying.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they never, like they just took what he said for face value and took her victim status for face value. Not that I'm saying that people aren't victims 100%, but at the same time, like people do process trauma differently.
Right.
Do I think her story was necessary? No, I don't know what she added to the group kind of thing. Like I feel like we could have taken her out and there wouldn't have been a miss in the group.
Right. Like I don't feel like omitting her story would change anything other than shorten the book.
Exactly.
Like Gretel doesn't influence the other girl's healing path. Mm-hmm. They don't really influence her path. She really is just a buffer filler week for it. But we get teeth throughout this book, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about fucking Will's teeth all the time. Mm-hmm. We talk about the wolf's teeth, her teeth. I don't get it.
I really don't.
Let me
see. Is her picture in here? Yeah, she has nice teeth. Maria Edelman, you got nice teeth, girl. Your parents paid for orthodontics. What you about on your teeth? Like, I don't know.
Okay, so supposedly teeth are a representation of one's self-image in literature.
Okay. Okay.
So it's how we see ourselves, right? So we're going to talk about Will at the end and what, but
again,
I guess because,
symbolism.
So, I guess because if we're using that bullshit for the symbolism, okay? Gretel has low self-worth, right?
Yeah.
She does not, I don't feel like her story was necessary. Where's my bell? I don't want Gretel. Like, she was depressing. She didn't help at all. It's not like she had the magical bag where she had everything like Raina.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't. She just,
she didn't push Ashley like Ruby did.
She didn't
make everybody think about like.
She wasn't like Beatrice and Ashley had a friendship. Ruby and Ashley had a friendship. Raina and Ashley had a friendship. Like all of these girls had like there was connections throughout. Yeah.
And then Gretel was just over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
She even like separated herself physically. Like she when they would come in, she would be sitting by herself.
But I wonder if that is also a symbol of how long she's had her trauma. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She is one of the oldest.
Yeah.
She is the one that is most frequently recognized because of her hair, right? Isn't that what the book said? Like people recognize
like,
her curly. Something?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, because she's got like weird ringlets or something. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if she's like a symbol of what it's like to sit with trauma for too long. This is what happens, kids, if you don't treat your trauma, right?
That makes
like,
sense. Yeah.
Do you want to be this tiny little puddle of loneliness forever? No. Go therapy. Okay, bye. You don't need like
take your meds.
I forgot. Shut up.
Not you. I meant like in general.
Well, I can't now. Okay, so we're gonna move on. Too late. Okay, we're gonna talk about Raina. We're on the last week. You guys, this is the point where shit got really fucking weird for me.
This is where I think I said, what?
What the fuck, Molly?
Like, three times. I remember, like, sitting in my chair and Steve sitting next to me on a Facebook call. And I remember putting the book down and just going,
what the fuck?
I don't know what I just read. And he's like, you okay? I don't know.
Scene, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I literally had a rewind. I was driving home and I was like, what the actual fuck?
Yeah.
And I was like, paused the book and I got to a light and I rewound it about 10 minutes and I re-listened and I was like, oh, that really did fucking happen.
Yeah.
Raina wasn't even supposed to be in the group.
Nope.
Will accidentally sent her the email, didn't think she'd be interested. She somehow signed up.
Mm-hmm.
Raina has been working on her letter since she knew it was her story, since she knew it was her week. And boy, woo, what a doozy of a story.
Girl.
I'm glad and I'm not glad at the same time. Like, I am so glad she was there because, wow, they finished that off perfectly. But also at the same time.
What the actual fuck?
First Doyle was so wild. So she is a girl that grew up in the middle of nowhere, a country bumpkin. Mm-hmm. Her dad tells this magical man, Jack Johnson, this famous producer, this famous TV star, that his daughter can do anything. She can make gold out of silk. She can do anything, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and
she
they,
can't.
Of course, they,
spoiler
she
alert.
Can't. Just the FYI.
Yeah.
So she goes and tries to prove her dad's right, and he promises that she can edit for this reality show. Spoiler alert, it's The One. It's like the first season of The One.
Yeah.
So this also gets like Ashley all peaked up. She's like, what?
Yeah.
So she gets there. She gets shoved into a room. And a little man comes out of nowhere.
Literally.
To help her. To help her.
Yeah.
Magically.
Yeah.
He just knew she needed help editing.
And he just knew how to edit. Like a,
yeah,
like a
champ. Just magically. He's Rumpelstiltskin.
Yep.
The Rumpelstiltskin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And somehow those two fall in love. And there's things that happen between them that are consensual as adults. Then he makes her pick.
Yeah.
He unalives himself in a gruesome manner.
This book.
It is, when I tell you, I have not had a, this is the weirdest sex I've heard of in a long time in a book.
And I read some kinky shit.
Read the goddamn book just for the weird sex. Anyways.
I read Kindle Unlimited shit. So, like, and this still even had me like, what? The fuck? I can't. The math ain't mathin'.
Raina. Wow. You go first.
I was just so like, what? What? Like the gif of the cat saying, what? That was all that I could see in my head. Like
it's just that loading the three loading dots from iMessaging,
like
what?
Yeah, the entire last half of her chapter. What? Like just so unhinged, as the kids so say. Unhinged. So unhinged. Yeah. So unhinged.
She's pregnant, right? And she has to make a choice at the end.
Yeah.
Love or money.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Do you think she picked right? Let's start there.
I mean, I guess if you are an unwed mother who you have the opportunity to provide for your child versus a very short, irregular, unverifiable magic man, I would go for the money. In all honesty, I would not go for Rumpelstiltskin. Nope. Mm-mm. So I don't blame her. Yeah.
No. I think Rumpel is a little dramatic.
A little, yes. Just a skosh.
I think he overreacted a smidge. But uh-huh. Who am I to judge? I mean, we all have handle our feelings different ways. Let's just, you know, this leads perfectly into our Will Jack storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the big spoiler of the book, guys. You've been warned. We find out that Will is actually Raina's husband, Jack Jackson, the reality show host.
Yes.
He's being evicted from his position on The One and is trying to come up with a better reality TV show.
Trying to clinch him. Yeah.
Yeah, get him. And he's in this really gross human body man suit that he wears to trick people, but his teeth and Jack's teeth are the same. Will and Jack's teeth are the same throughout the book. It's really weird. But
so much to unpack.
So weird. So weird. So he reveals himself to be Jack because he learns that his kid with Raina might not be his kid and might have been
Rumpelstiltskin's
kid.
Yeah.
Because she's like a little sparkly. Just a little sparkly. Not a lot sparkly. Just a little sparkly. But it, after that big harumph,
mm-hmm.
it was so lackluster.
Oh my god.
Yeah. While Will had been giving us creepy glances into his life the whole time,
mm-hmm.
we were not sure who he was until Raina told her story, right?
Right.
Then Jack lost his shit. Did you like the big twist at the end? Like, hit there, that part? You didn't like finding out it was Jack?
I was just like, what the actual fuck? Like, I didn't hate it, but I just was like, this book, what is this book? Like, this again, it was just like, I can't with this shit.
As soon as, like, we heard about the TV screens, mm-hmm. I was like, it's Jack.
Yeah, it's see, I didn't think that way. That scene made me question your friendship. Because I was like, what is she, what the fuck did she make me read? What am I doing?
I gave you next week's book. Next week's book is so fair. Amazing.
Fair.
So
but
it's balanced this with Molly. One
was like, I just want to be done with it at this point. Just want to wrap this train wreck up.
This is why April asks you to join us, because she hates my weird shit.
Yeah. Yeah. She'd have been throwing the book at that point.
She would have
like,
She would have drove here to beat me with it. Jack films everything mm-hmm. and plans to sell it as a reality show. Did you like this twist? Yep.
I did not. I thought it was a huge violation of therapy. Like the healthcare provider in me was like, how could you do that to somebody? Like somebody comes to you for help. Yeah. It's and you're willing to like let them open themselves completely vulnerable to you, and then you fucking put it on TV.
And he goes
without their consent.
He goes, well, they didn't read the fine print. You know, like
everybody clicks, I agree, Jack. Like, come on. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The final ending really is an ending. Bernice is pretty much our narrator. The women mm-hmm. are like healing and spending mm-hmm. time together, and Bernice is trying to get money, and mm-hmm. it's just
weird. Yeah. Very anticlimactic.
I was pissed at this ending. Mm-hmm. It felt like she didn't know what to do.
Agreed.
It truly felt like she was like, okay, I just wrote this beautiful surprise.
Yeah.
Like, and honestly, that book needed 3 more chapters.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
That book needed 3 more chapters to really finish it out and round it out. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how she would have done it, truly, to be honest with you. But mm-hmm. I do know this ending was not the right ending.
Right. It was just very, very disappointing.
I mean, I'm glad those women are healing. I'm glad they're not torturing themselves. I'm mm-hmm. glad Bernice got rid of the talking furniture.
Word.
And Ruby got rid of the coat, and like mm-hmm. they're healing and they're trying to move forward in their lives. I'm really glad about that. But that mm-hmm. is not the ending I want.
Yeah.
This is a grim novel. Give me a grim ending. Let them drag him through the streets by his ankles. Let him fall into a volcano. Make it dramatic like this series belongs.
Yeah.
It was,
Wah, wah, wah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, final thoughts. Did I miss anything?
My final thought is, why do we need another Grimm's fairy tale?
I don't know.
Why are we retelling these stories?
Tessie did an excellent job, and she didn't fucking piss us off this way.
Right. So that's why I'm like, because I like Tessie and I like Grimm's fair. Like that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why?
Maria, why did you feel like you needed to do this? What are you working through, sis? Yeah. Like,
what magic is this, and why is it so evil? Like.
Who hurt you, Maria?
Really? Seriously.
Tell us who hurt you. Yeah.
Is this what your therapist told you to do?
Yeah.
Get your money back, dude.
I was going to say, get a refund. Here's some Prozac, friends. So.
Next week. So next week. Katie. Molly is still here, by the way, gang. We are not going anywhere. Next week we are talking Killers of a Certain Age. I read this on the pod break. Oh my gosh. And I was so excited about it, and I went to group chat and instantly said, I don't know what you two are doing. Clary TBR freed this book.
Yes.
And April was like, and then you're like, getting into the library.
Yes.
Because you don't say no unless you have,
I don't say no. Yeah.
No, you don't. Literally, that's all. Seriously, we all need therapy.
People pleaser. It's fine. So.
But we moved some stuff around, and here it is for this week, next week. I have nothing else. Guys, check our socials. You know what to do. Book Fest is coming up. We're going to have a lot of great stuff for that. Till next time, besties. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of Molly and Katie, not those of anyone else. Today's book was How to Be Eaten by Maria Adelman. Your book besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins, special guest host, Nurse Katie. Editing by Thomas Watkins. Music is Sleep Sweetly by Brigida. Don't forget to follow the book besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the book besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit us at our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.